Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. You have cleansed us and purified us. You have made us your own. And we rejoice that we can gather again this evening to listen to your word, to listen to your voice. And I pray, Lord, that you bless the words and bless the time and bless our singing unto you, that we will lift up our voices in praise and adoration, for thou art God. Lord, thank you. And walk with us this week, that we will in our hearts be continually praising you and praying to you and singing to you, that others may know that we've been with Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Okay, let's sing number 500. Second of the Star Spangled Banner.
Thank you.
we have any other rules? Yes, sir. Okay, we'll do that in about 10 or 15 minutes, okay? We'll come back to that. Yes. 289. Okay, does Jesus care? 289. Abide with me. Amen. I can count that high, so we're doing good. Sing praise to God who reigns above.
Thank you.
Yes, Laura.
406.
406. I'm a soldier. That we are. Okay. Benny, what song did you want?
Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus Loves Me, 479. Come on up. Time for a few more. Does anyone have a song they'd like to sing? No? 461, okay. 461. They'd like to sing. Yes, Gregory. 334. You're lucky that's not a new one.
Thank you.
let's go over to the next page on 332. Actually, previous page.
Thank you.
bring up our brother here. In the first stanza there where it says that on earth is not his equal, who's that? Satan. Because he's the one armed with cruel hate. So we will bring our beloved brother, Ramil, up here, and he will bring us a word from the Lord. Thank you.
Again, it's an honor and pleasure for me to stand before you because we are here to preach Christ and Christ alone. We are here to proclaim His good news and the bad news of the Scriptures. And God uses us, the foolishness of preaching, to save His people. And people don't understand that. They want to see things to believe. But God says, you got to hear things before you have faith. So we are in constant friction with the world. So when we preach the gospel of salvation, we got to do it with all of its power, with all of its simplicity, and with all of its honor and glory. I would like to start today from the Old Testament. I want to read from Genesis 37 all the way to Genesis 50. Just kidding. In order to do justice, that's what we have to do. Because I would like to talk about Jesus. And it takes a long time to talk about Jesus. That's why we come here every week, all the time, Sundays, to talk about Jesus. The story that we are going to look at today is the story of Joseph. It's sort of a preamble for next Sunday's preaching in regards to Jacob and Joseph. So you that are here, you're going to get the introduction to next week's message, Lord willing. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 37. I'd like to read the first few verses, maybe the first 10, 11 verses. And then we're going to look at this story of Joseph, and we're going to look at some of the characters that are similar to Jesus Christ. Let's read from Genesis 37. Let's start from the beginning, and let's just go through the end of verse 11. We read, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, the dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, many sheaves arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about, and made or bowed down to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more of his dreams and for his words. Verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I had dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made opposite, bowed down to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Now the father is angry too. Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee in the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, may it be that you will speak today. Diminish this poor, wicked sinner preacher in front of this audience and increase thyself. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So how many of us have not heard the story of Joseph? How many of us in Sunday school have not colored those sheaves? And how many of us have not talked about the coat of many colors that Jacob made for Joseph? All of us have heard this. All of us know about the wickedness of Joseph's brothers when they took him and they sold him. Can you imagine your brother taking you and selling you? This is awful. Even though sometimes we wish we could get rid of our brothers and sisters, you know, deep down. But rarely you will find someone to actually sell and get rid of your brothers and sisters. Joseph, in his character and in his conduct, shows us how we ought to live in this world for the glory of God and how God honors those that honor him. But Joseph's wicked brothers, in their character and conduct, represents everything that is vile, that is crooked, that is malicious. They were wicked. They were self-centered. They were self-serving. They wanted everything for themselves. Obviously, Joseph represents all the stuff we ought to do. And his brothers represents all the stuff we need to stay away from. So we can talk about the morality of how we should deal with our brethren. The morality of how we should respect each other. That's a good lesson. But I think before morality is discussed and the conducts are discussed, we got to talk about Jesus, who is the author of all of those good characters in his children. So what I would like to do is to look at Joseph, and we're going to start today just the basic stuff, and maybe if the time permits, we'll get into some of his actions with his brethren. First of all, do you know that Joseph was given two names? One by his parents and one by the king, Pharaoh. Now I know that all of us know what Joseph means, don't we? Let's go to Genesis chapter 30. I believe Joseph means what the Genesis 30 verse 24 says. If we go to the scriptures and look at Genesis 30 verse 24. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. The word Joseph means adder. But he also had another name, King Pharaoh, you remember? Gave him a very, very unique name. And his name was Zephnath-Paneah. How do you name your child's name Zephnath-Paneah? Anthony, can you imagine? You go to school, hey Zephy, how you doing? Zephnath-Paneah. But it has a lot of meaning into it. It means, and if we're not going to spend too much time in this, but if you go on your own time, Genesis 41:45, you'll see that the Pharaoh gave him this name, and that name actually means twofold, revealer and provider. And if you just stop there, you can preach for 2 hours in regards to Christ who was revealed, or God who was revealed in the form of Christ, and God who provided us a salvation plan. But we will skip that for now. The second thing that we need to look at, which is very important as you study the scriptures, is that his relationship to his father, Joseph and Jacob. If you go back with me to Genesis 37, and let's read verse 3 one more time, you will see something there. It says, now Israel, which is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children. Joseph here is a type of Christ in his relationship to his father. Israel loved Joseph more than all his brethren. Oh, how much Jacob loved Joseph. I mean, you could see the movies and you could read the scriptures and you will see the pain Jacob faces when he thinks his son is dead. And the same way is with Christ. If you go to the New Testament, Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 35. If you go to the Gospel of John, New Testament, chapter 3, verse 35. You will see that the scripture says, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands." It's the same relationship, Jacob and Joseph, as God the Father and God the Son. In Matthew 3:17, we also read, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So, in his name and in his relationship, we have a picture of Christ. And by the way, going back to his name, I forgot to mention, everything that Adam lost, Joseph or Christ added. That's why his name is Adam. We lost everything in the Garden of Eden. We lost the relationship with God. The sin separated between us and the Father. But therefore, Joseph is the Adam who adds back, who puts back those relationships by his dying on the cross. Now, do you know Joseph's job? What did he do? Let's go to the same chapter, chapter 37, and in verse 2. We read what his job was. Verse 2 of Genesis 37. "These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren." Joseph represents the Lord Jesus Christ, even in his occupation. How is that? Let's go to Psalm 23. We have memorized it, right? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." What about John chapter 10? Do you remember about Christ preaching and talking about him being a good shepherd? Go with me to the Gospel of John. And you know that Joseph's job is not accidental. Most everybody, almost everybody in the Old Testament, in the days of after Abraham all the way through, you will see that God, for example, pulls Moses out of his, what he was doing, princeship, and puts him to be a shepherd. As if you need to understand what it takes to care for your people before you can relate your relationship with Christ. And Joseph is also a shepherd. That's what he did. In John 10:11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd takes care of his sheep. No, the good shepherd giveth his life for who? The sheep, not for the goats, for the sheep. And that's the job of a good shepherd. Joseph is a good shepherd. John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd." And what? "Not only I give my life for my sheep, and know my sheep." I know you, Jesus says. You are my sheep. I know everything about you. Don't try to hide from me under like Jonah did by going to Tarshish. You can't. I know you. "I am the good shepherd," verse 14 says of John 10. "And know my sheep, and am known of mine." Do you know how a good shepherd takes care of his sheep? Let's go to Isaiah 40. You need to understand this because as we are talking about Joseph, we have to make sure he is a type, a picture of Christ. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 40 in the Old Testament. Verse 11, we read, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd." Here is a picture for you. That is how God feeds his sheep, like a shepherd. "He shall gather the lambs," with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Look at all the stuff that God does. What did you do? What did I do? Nothing. I was carried in his arms, in his bosom. And he gently leads. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our sorrows. He understands who we are because he knows us. So he gently leads us, even though we are experiencing trials and tribulations. But he is gentle with us. He leads us. He shows us the way. In Ezekiel 34:12, we read, Ezekiel 34:12, you just need to probably write it down and I will read it for you. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so, another picture, will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. As you walk in the valley, you understand, of death, God seeks us out, his sheep. He takes care of us. In the cloudy days, in the dark days, he sought us and he delivered us. He is not going to leave us alone. In 1 Peter, this is a very powerful verse. If we go to the New Testament, because it is not about physical stuff only. We are not talking about God coming and taking care of you, making sure you don't have a boo-boo on your finger, put a band-aid on, and you know, give you an aspirin, put you to bed, and sing you a lullaby. This is not what we talk about. In 1 Peter 2:25, you will see the true meaning of God being our shepherd. Look what it says with me. In 1 Peter, it is right before 2 Peter. You can't miss it. 1 Peter 2:25. For ye were as sheep going astray. Believers, you were just like any sheep that is going away from the flock. Look what happened. But are now returned. Where? Unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. That is the true work that Christ has done for us. It is not just leading you in the world, showing you what college you go to, being with you and helping you to become a 4.0 student and being a glory and honor for... It is just not that. He is the shepherd and the bishop of our soul, of our being, of our thoughts, of whatever we have within this body that we have. He manages all of that. He takes care of all of that. Is he really the bishop of my soul? What can be more beautiful than the comparison of Christ to a shepherd? The figure suggests his tender care, his unceasing devotion, his constant provision, his watchful protection, his blessed patience with us as we resist sometimes, his peaceful presence and his matchless love. How else you could portray Christ if it's not a shepherd? What is it? Now what about, so we talked about his name, we talked about his relationship to his Father, we talked about his job. What about that coat that his daddy made for him? I know for a fact that if I were to give a coat of many colors now to Anthony, he probably won't wear it. Because in this day and age, that is a dangerous thing to do, you know? Because we're living 50 miles from the danger zone here. And you know, coat of many colors, rainbows, suggest the wrong things. You understand what I'm saying, right? All right. But Daddy made Jacob a coat of many colors. He made it so he can be distinguished. When people look, they see, oh, something is special about that boy. Same thing that God did with Christ. Did not the Lord God so distinguish his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from all other men, There was a lot of prophets. There was a lot of preachers. There was a lot of shepherds that came and fed the sheep. But there was one that is just stands out. And that is Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're getting to the meat of the lesson. In chapter 37 through 50 of Genesis, Joseph did a lot of things. So I picked from 100, I picked probably about 6, I think, that we're going to talk about. His actions. Because Joseph was a type of Christ even in his actions. The things he did and how he did them. We need to learn from that. So let's go to the first one. And I want us to go to, as you notice, Joseph, as we read, as you read Genesis 37 through 50, he was sent by his father into wilderness. Daddy sent son to go bring report of his other children. He sent him over there. And as he sent him to the wilderness, his brothers dealt very treacherously with him, didn't they? They didn't come and say, "Oh, poor Joseph, you walked so many miles. Let me take care of you." They dealt with him scornfully. So the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, sent God the Son to a wilderness. And instead of us taking care of him, instead of us worshiping him, instead of us bowing down before him, what did we do? We dealt with him scornfully. Let's go to the Gospel of John. Go back to Gospel of John chapter 1. We have read this in Sunday school. Gospel of John chapter 1. And you will see what the scripture says. Verse 10 and 11. He was sent, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11 of John 1. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Just like Joseph. He thought he is going to meet 11 of his brothers. He thought he's going to have a good time. He thought they're going to worship together and they're going to fellowship together. They're going to feed the flock together. He thought. But when he got there, he was faced with terror. Same thing with Christ. When Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. Also, Joseph suffered much by the hands of his brothers. His brothers betrayed him. They sold him into bondage. It was by the deed of his brothers that he was imprisoned in Egypt. His own brothers delivered him up to die. So far, as they knew, Joseph was dead. So it is with our Savior. Let's go to Psalm 55. Because it is very important to know this truth that Jesus suffered by the hands of his fellow men. Psalm 55. Verses 12, 13, and 14. If we go to Psalm 55, verses 12 through 14, this is what we read. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. Verse 13. But it was thou, O man, mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked unto the house of God in company. Jesus was betrayed by one of his friends, so-called friends. You walk to churches together. You fellowship with everyone that says, "I am a Christian," because you say, "Well, if he says I'm a Christian, fine." But we have to be very careful. Because not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," will be saved. So Jesus was betrayed by one of his friends. He says, we took counsel together. We were walking together. We even walked to church together. We shook hands every Sunday. And now, betrayal comes. The power of sin. We underestimate the power of sin. One thing I have learned in my journey so far, that I always underestimate the power of sin. Because I have pride, and I think I could take that sin. Oh yes, I can. I will not. No way. I know the scriptures, so I go, and God breaks me every time. The power of sin. You let your guard down. Oh boy, you better watch out. Satan is powerful. And when he comes, he just doesn't come to tingle you. He comes to destroy you. Just like he did with Israelites. When they went, and we read in the book of Joshua, when the enemies were getting prepared to go fight Joshua, they all gathered together and they all wanted to go destroy Joshua. Satan doesn't come just to break your knee or scratch your face. He wants to kill you forever in hell. So when he comes with might. He comes with power. He comes with everything he got. And that's what's happening here. We let our guards down and we will get destroyed. We forget the scriptures. We put the Bible aside. We start having friends that believe in other stuff, other standards in life, other gods. Some of them believe in cows, some of them in fire, some of them in sun. And guess what? You have just opened up the gate and Satan is in. You have to be very, very, very careful. We have to be very careful. Joseph did nothing but good for his brothers, though they fully deserved his wrath. All he did was good. But they did this to him, and they fully deserved his wrath. So Christ, who was and is no greatly abused by us, does everything but good for his elect. You remember Romans 8:28? Let's go to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Before 8:28, just let's stop at 1:32. Romans 1:32 and then 8:28. Romans 1:32. Who knowing the judgment of God, Romans 1:32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They enjoy sin. Do you think those people that stand on the stairs of the council or the government steps and they get married, two men to each other, do you think they're doing it because they hate it? They love to sin. They enjoy being a homosexual. They enjoy happily going down that aisle to hell if they don't repent. They enjoy it. People observe sin as if it's their religion. They love to sin. And that is what's going on. When Joseph's brothers put him in that ditch and sold him and persecuted him, they loved it. They hated him. They wanted to get rid of him. But now, in Romans 8:28, this is what we read. This is the love of God for us. And we know that all things work together. You mean all things? All things. You mean the war in Iraq? Yes. You mean the all of the stuff that's going on around us? Yes. All things work together for good to them that love God. Who are they that love God? Who? The answer is, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Those are the people that really, truly love God. Because He has called them to love Him. So same thing with Jesus. We deserved damnation. We deserved to go to hell. We did nothing to persuade God to change our destiny. We did nothing, not even one iota, to say, God, I love You. We were happily serving our sins, but God, thank God, He called us according to His purpose. Now we love Him. Now we serve Him. We deserved His judgment. Do you love me? Do you remember this morning? Feed my sheep. In the proper time, though, there was one time in history, in the proper time, Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. Let's go to Genesis 45. Let's read the story. There was a proper time, time of love, where Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. Genesis 45, verses 1 through 3. We read in verse 1 of Genesis 45, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all men that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. There is a time in our life that God reveals Himself to us. We call that a time of love. Do you know in Ezekiel there is such phrase? Let's go to Ezekiel, the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 16, two verses, verses 6 and 8 of Ezekiel 16. Our condition before God found us is a terrible picture of who we really are. In Ezekiel 16, verse 6, we see a glimpse of us when we weren't saved. It says, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. Look at our condition. We were bloody. The judgment of God was upon us. And let's go to verse 8. Now, when I pass by thee, now, when I pass by thee and look upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. Now, when God passed by you, now is the time He looks at you. Now is the time He draws you. Because today, now is the time of love. No more blood. No more judgment. It's all about love. And He says, and I spread my skirt over thee, the clothes of His righteousness, and covered thy nakedness, your sinful nature, my sinful nature. He covered it with His skirt. Yet I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee. Everything God did for us. He found us. He looked upon you, Brother Victor, and He loved you because that day was the time of love. He covered you with His skirt. And He says, you know what? I made a covenant with you. And you can't go anywhere because you're mine. And saith the Lord God, and thou, at the end, verse 3, becamest mine. How did I become Christ? Well, Christ walked by me. I was in my sins. He looked upon me. He put His skirt over me. He covered my nakedness. He made a covenant with me. And I became His. That's how I became His. That's how I became His. He covered my shamefulness. He covered my nakedness. He blotted out my sins. He forgave them because of Christ's sake. And Joseph forgave his brothers of all their crimes against him. Everything they did, he forgave. Oh boy, I have a hard time with that. I do. I can forgive some stuff, but when it comes to other stuff, I can't. I have a hard time with that. But Joseph forgave them all. I mean, they put him through the ringer. They made him a slave, beloved of the Father. He was a slave. He went to prison for nothing. But he forgave them. If we go to Genesis 50, you're in 45, go to chapter 50, verse 19 through 21, and we're almost done. Genesis 50, 19 through 21. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Don't be afraid. But as for you, look at his response. Ye thought evil against me. You wanted to kill me. You wanted to destroy me. You didn't want my father to love me more than you. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day. Why did God do this? Right there. To save much people alive. The reason Christ came and became a man and died is this, to save much people alive. That's what he did. That's what he did. Now therefore, verse 21, Fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Oh boy, if I see my brother, I mean, he's been a wicked boy for the last few years. And we are praying for him. How will I nourish him? How will I comfort him? How will I speak kindly to him? I am angry that he is rebelling against God. But God is teaching us to become like Christ. You do and I do my thing and let God do his thing. God doesn't move by my schedule. He moves by his timetable, which he designed before you and I were ever born. Look at this Joseph. After all of that pain, don't be afraid. I will nourish you. I will comfort you. And I'm going to speak kindly to you. Don't be afraid. So Christ forgave us and assured us of God's love and grace. So how do we end this? What do we stand in need of? What is it that you and I want from God? Do we want grace? Forgiveness? Righteousness? What is it that we want? Money? Peace? A good husband? A good wife? A godly son-in-law? A godly daughter-in-law? What is it that we want? Eternal life? Strength? What is it that we want? What is it that we are in need of? And I think the verse to go to is very simple. It's in Genesis 41, verse 55. You want anything from God, you got to do something. Genesis 41, 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And this is what I have to tell you and I. We got to go to Jesus and do what he tells me to do. Going to Jesus just to go, like those other people went to get healed and then leave him, is not enough. My dad is in the hospital. A lot of people come, pray, so-called Christians. They are telling God what to do. God, one says, today, before 5 o'clock, you heal him now. Now is the time, he says to God. Right now, do it now. And I pulled him aside. I said, do you remember the story of Lazarus, the poor man and the rich man? Do you remember? Do you remember that story where Jesus is talking and he's giving us the parable and he says, unless they hear the words of Moses and the prophets, they will not believe. I don't care if Lazarus gets up out of heaven and comes down, they're not going to believe. Jesus got up out of dead. They didn't believe. The issue is not a miracle. The issue is faith. You got to hear the Moses and the prophets. That's the issue. Go on to Joseph and do what he tells you to do. Go to Jesus, not for extraordinary miracles in your life. Go to Jesus for salvation. Go to Him because we are in need of Him. We are dying. We are crying, Pharaoh, we are dying. There is no bread. And Pharaoh says, go to Joseph and do exactly what he tells you to do. Where do you find that? In the Scriptures. How do you know what to do? You go to the Scriptures. Go to Christ. Christ is all. Christ has all. Christ gives all. Christ is our Joseph, isn't He? He is in the place of God. He rules all things. He possesses all things. Go unto Joseph and do what He tells us to do. Shall we go unto Joseph in prayer? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come unto You. Because if we would live, we must go unto Joseph. We must go unto Christ and do and obey what You say to us to do. Heavenly Father, we learn from the story of Joseph about Your greatness and Your power. We learn that we deserve nothing. We learn that You could have judged us, but You instead loved us. And You looked upon us. And You drew us out of our blood. And You made us Your sons and daughters. Now we come to You. We are in need. Help us come to You and do what You have to say in the Scriptures. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.